For 55 years, the waters of Lake Powell in southeastern Utah have submerged Glen Canyon. Drowned with it are ancient features and sacred sites now known only to memory. For 55 years, legendary river runner Ken Slight has thought about these places as he once knew them, when the river ran wild.
Knowing at my age, going on 90 now, I felt like it was the only thing I could do now to preserve the Glen Canyon would be maybe preserve some of the artifacts. And that's what we did.
Slight and a large team of writers, artists, friends, and neighbors put together an exhibit to remember Glen Canyon before its damming in 1963. It's open at the John Wesley Powell River History Museum in Green River, Utah, until the end of March.
I feel like for a lot of people, when they think of Ken Slight, they think of Glen Canyon.
Ryan Savino, one of the lead curators of Glen Canyon, a river guide, remembers.
I mean, it's pretty remarkable that for so many years, it's been so big and important to him, and he's continued to speak about it and write about it, be an advocate for Glen Canyon. So I think, like, at this point, at least in my mind, as far as living river runners and river historians and legends, like, Ken is the truest person to tell the story of Glen Canyon.
Slight started his river guiding career in Glen Canyon in 1955, just as the dam's blueprints were coming together. He ran trips until there was no river left to run, and this experience turned him into a well-known activist for the protection of wild places. At the exhibit, curators sought to recreate a classic Ken Slight river trip, modeling its course after a 1959 journal entry of one of his passengers.
We start at height, which is River Mile 162.3.
Okay. Oh, wow, what is this?
So that's one of the, or this is a pump that was used in Glen Canyon. And you can actually, if you want, you can try to, or you can pump it.
Journeying down the river, we meet other legendary characters of the canyon. There's Bert Loper, who lived in Glen Canyon in a cabin he called the Hermitage. Then there's Jean Field Foster, who did her best to document artifacts and features before the waters rose.
Each day we kind of have a different theme, kind of similar how on a river trip, you know, maybe you're going to go past a cabin, and so you're going to talk about that historical person or whatnot.
There's activists like Katie Lee, river runners like Georgie White, and Dave Rust, considered the first outfitter in the region. And then there's the canyon itself. One of the highlights of the Glen Canyon exhibit for Slight is a photograph blown up to cover an entire wall. It shows Rainbow Bridge, spanning over 200 feet long and nearly 300 feet high. It's a place of incredible sacred significance to many indigenous people, including the Diné, the Hopi, San Juan Southern Paiute, Kaibab Paiute, and White Mesa Ute.
Well, this next one is called Farewell to Rainbow, and it's also among my protest poetry.
Years ago, when they started putting the water up into Rainbow Bridge National Monument, I didn't like that at all. And a bunch of us brought suit against the government to keep the waters out of Rainbow Bridge National Monument. They had the water going right up under the arch. Of course, I was fearful that the additional water underneath might topple the arch itself. I still believe it.
And so we watch with great chagrin as water rises up from glen. At your very foundations it does lap, ever eroding your strength to sap. All so unnecessary, this great mishap. So sacred rainbow standing high.
Just the idea of having a huge picture Rainbow Bridge at the exhibit delighted me very much. It told the visitors to the museum how important Rainbow Bridge was.
You know, we decided early on that we wanted the exhibit to be more about experiencing it as it was and not focusing on what all has been lost, although that is the underlying current. You get through the exhibit and you think, that's incredible, and await I can't see this anymore. This is all underneath the reservoir. Like hearing Bob Quist and Ken and Stuart Reeder, they were talking one day about getting to Hidden Passage, which is this one side canyon, and they're talking about how it's so muddy and like, oh, do you remember that mud? And the little bluegills would be nipping at your toes. And it was exciting and felt happy, but kind of underlining it all, it was still like, oh, this, there's a sense of loss kind of with it all.
I think that we've tried to put the word out over and over and over again how much has been lost and why destroy something so beautiful has been the message all the time. They can bring up a lot of other reasons not to have the dam, or they can bring up a lot of reasons for the dam. But the one essential thing was it was so beautiful. So beautiful. And to do what they did with it is a real travesty. Already a lot of people, writers and so forth, have noted that same thing of how beautiful it was and why they did it. And I still don't know why.
Slight dreams about the water receding, side canyons returning. Like Glen Canyon itself, he hopes the exhibit will see another life soon. The team is currently working on an online exhibit and hopeful for other physical spaces to show the artifacts.
This one I saw the other day, like this one.
Near the museum's entrance, comment cards line a wall. Savino grabs one.
Mind reading it? Yeah, it says, I really liked the new Glen Canyon exhibit. What a stirring exhibit to a lost place. I felt like I was there.
Glen Canyon, A River Guide Remembers, is open until Saturday, March 23rd at the John Wesley Powell River History Museum in Green River, Utah.